Hey you, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. I am so excited to welcome you here. I'm your host, Karina, if you don't know me yet. I really, really am so excited that you're here. I'm so excited that you love this podcast or that you stumbled across this podcast and that you, decided to listen. And I really hope the conversation that I'm sharing with you today will resonate with you. I'm talking to Natalie. She is a wonderful teacher of the feminine arts, a mystic devoted to Christ and union, helping women restore their relationship to God, men, and their feminine essence. And we talk about so many beautiful things I'm going to share with you in a second. But if you like this conversation and if you like other conversations that I've shared so far or my solo episodes, really anything here, please subscribe. It would really help a lot. And give 5 stars if the podcast resonates with you. If you give stars, then please, please, please click the 5 stars so that this podcast can rank higher and more people can find it, listen to it, and hopefully take something away for themselves, learn something, maybe find faith or find strength, find ideas and opportunities or possibilities, and discover why they're here or what might inspire them. I think there's so much that can be found and discovered through conversation, through inspiration, and honestly, so much of my journey has been unfolding the way that it unfolded because of podcasts, because of inspiration, because of people sharing their journeys. It just is so valuable to have such guidance and hear the stories of people, because sometimes you find so much value and resonance with things that are shared by others. I can actually share a little example of that of today, actually. I was out with a friend, a new friend of mine. We were having coffee and cakes after we went to Pilates. And my new friend, she shared with me a particular situation about her work that she's doing. And it resonated so much with me that I was thinking, oh my God, this is so available to me. I knew that before, but it just didn't settle in my heart and in my body. And with her sharing her journey, her situation, something that I already knew settled within me, and it gave me so much peace about the next steps that I'm going to take. It really felt like a little glimpse of something that God definitely wanted to show me, that I've been praying about, that I've been looking for an answer to, and it has been so beautifully presented to me. So I'm really grateful for little glimpses like that, little nudges like that. It's just so wonderful and so beautiful. And I think in a similar way, a podcast can serve someone. So I'm really grateful that I get to do this and that I have such beautiful people on here who just are so open and share their souls with us. I think this is so brave, honestly, because they are putting themselves out there and they share their journey and they share this glimpse of their path, and we can grow alongside of them. So in the episode with Natalie, we dive into the restoration of the deep full feminine. We talk about the role of the womb space in our healing journey. We talk about manifesting versus receiving and the importance and journey of unification with the masculine. And also I asked her about God retemplating and what that means to her. Just because, I mean, as I shared already, I'm on my journey with God, and I know that some of you are, so I just wanted to dive into that with Natalie as well, just to hear her talk on her beliefs and share her convictions with us. And I always think that's so beautiful to just witness everyone's journey. And that's everything. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. It's so full of value. I am so grateful that you're here. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the 5-star button. Share the episode with a friend if it resonates with you. It would just mean so, so much. Sending you so many hugs, and let's dive into the episode with Natalie. Hi, Natalie. It's so beautiful to welcome you on the Mood Lab today and to have this conversation. I would love if you could, start by introducing yourself, share a bit about your story, what you do.
Thank you so much for having me here, Karina. It's an honor. So I'm really excited to dive in with you today. Yeah. So my name is Natalie. I am a teacher of the feminine arts. I'm a healer. I work directly with the subconscious. So whether I'm doing like energy work or if I'm coaching, I tend to get right to the root and help people see themselves in their fullest while also peeling back layers of untruths that are not serving them and their potential. A lot of my work is centered around bringing people back into their fullness and innate wholeness through resurrecting the love that they are as daughters of God. And, you know, my path was not always this light and smooth. I have been studying this work for over 10 years because my soul was hurting a lot. So I moved to New York by myself at age 19 to model, and immediately started having like a really intense spiritual awakening. And I went to a naturopathic doctor, and she had business cards in her office with healers. And there was one in particular that I ended up studying under, well, actually two, but definitely one for the most part, like more intimately for almost 6 years, who taught me a lot of what I practice to this day. So it's been a wild journey with a lot of twists and turns and a lot of ups and downs and a lot of like physical health stuff as I started clearing density and clearing darkness. My body mirrored that spiritual work that I was doing. But I feel like I'm on the other side now, able to talk to you and have this conversation today and able to help thousands of women on their journey of remembrance.
Yeah, thank you. Do you feel like, or do you remember a particular moment or probably many that brought you directly into that feminine side of your work, like really focusing on the deep, full feminine as you express it in your work?
Yeah, so I have struggled so much in the past with like body image stuff, with feeling just good in my own skin, you know, with men and trusting men and trusting life and trusting God. Like a lot of what I teach now is a result of me just not giving up, like me really and truly just choosing, like, I must get to the bottom of all of these patterns. I wouldn't say there was one moment in particular, but I kind of got wrapped up into like the flamboyant, like glamorized feminine embodiment space, which is like a lot of like self-pleasure and like creating a life of pleasure, like manifestation and obsession with success and image and stuff like that. So I got wrapped up into that for a little while, probably like in 2020 and 2021. And it wasn't until I got my breast implants removed in 2021 that I descended and started to meet the depths of my feminine soul. Because like the path of the deep feminine isn't an ascension path. It's not like a rising, so to say, like what we hear about so much in the spiritual space. The path of the deep feminine is descending into the heart, descending into the womb. And so, yeah, it wasn't until I got my breast implants removed that I started to really meet the honesty of my heart and womb. And I do believe that like maybe the surgery had to do with it, but definitely removing those toxins from my body, I was able to just meet myself at a deeper level than ever before.
I so feel like that aligns so much with what I usually talk about as well. The fact that, I mean, it really depends. Obviously, there's different forms of toxins, and for example, implants are one form of that, but also the way that we load our bodies with so many toxins with the food that we eat and all of that. And I do believe, and I've experienced that myself, when we are filled up with toxins, we are not able to even listen or hear our intuition or our inner knowing or our connection to something higher. We are not even able to access that. And so I can just feel while you're saying that, that can have such an impact on, I don't know, not seeing that clearly, I guess. That's how I would describe it. And so I think that's so important to dive into that and to,
It's like not being able to feel fully. Like I almost energetically feel like implants were keeping me operating from like the heart up, but not like my higher heart, you know, like kind of more in like mental, like penetrating energy through life, like a masculine energy, because like the energy that we create from is so important. So the energy that I got the implants from was scarcity, not enoughness, a lot of self-doubt, eating disorder, needing attention from men, thinking I had to change myself to be successful as a model, all this stuff. So that energy was just like sitting inside of me for all those years. And so removing the implants was a form of like removing those consciousnesses from vessel.
I'm so happy for you that you took that step and that brought you closer to this, onto this journey, really. You already touched upon that a couple of times. So that there is this difference between this one path that a lot of people in, I guess, the spiritual space also are taking with the feminine embodiment, like really going into this like business success kind of side. And it's almost like this feminist kind of side. I almost feel it really embodies that bigger and better. And you just have to go get out there and like, I don't know, almost present you in this very open way. And it's like you said, it kind of goes like up and then there's the descend. And it's very much, for me, I would describe it often as like a softness and like a returning to actually the biologically feminine parts within us. And I would just love if you could talk a bit about that, like maybe also diving into that difference a bit, or even more so what it means to restore the deep and full feminine as you teach it and as you feel it.
Yeah. So I've like really committed to like not making the other path wrong, you know, like I'm totally just talking to myself right now because I've kind of gotten a little sassy about it. And it was only because I realized how far off I got off of my own path. So the whole time I was really speaking to myself, but yeah, I have realized about kind of like the surface level mind version of feminine embodiment work. Just like you said, a lot of it is rooted in like feminist ideology. We cannot embody our feminine without restoring our feminine. We just cannot. Like, we've got to restore her before we even begin to embody her. I didn't know that. So I just went straight into feminine embodiment and I was like, wait, why isn't this working? Why does it feel like success? Like, I'm just thinking about how much money I'm making or thinking about getting my own way and manifesting my own way. It's like, why am I so obsessed with what I have or don't have? Why am I so obsessed with pleasure, but I don't even know how to hold my own darkness? Why am I leaving God out of the picture? Why do I have a hard time with the concept of obeying God and submitting to God's will? Well, underneath of all of that was like deep seated, like father wounding, like a lot of patterns within me that I accumulated in regards to the masculine principle of life. So not just my own father, but also like the whole idea of structure, the whole idea of correction, like being corrected by God, like all these things I was trying to run from because I had a wounded maiden template within me. So the like surface level feminine embodiment space was excluding this very important and rich conversation that required me to soften and humble myself. I didn't know that all of these masculine principles were in service to my feminine. I thought they were against me because I was so like guarded. So all of that to say, like, restoring our feminine, it's giving our feminine permission to rest in the arms of God, in the life principle that we are held, loved, and cherished by life. And it's allowing God to go first, not my will, not my manifestation list, not my desires to go first, but God's will. Through that process, we naturally, without, you know, needing to do all these like yoni practices, not saying those are wrong, but like we don't need to do all that as much when we know to our core how precious, how whole, how complete, how, you know, beautiful we are as children and daughters of God. There's just this sense of being satiated to our core that all the external stuff cannot give us. You know, this is why orienting our identity as beloveds of God is so powerful, because it's this internal shift that is ignited, and our feminine just naturally blossoms from that place without needing, like I said, all this extra doing. And that's what I really found in the feminine embodiment space, was like there was just more doing. It's like, do this practice, do this manifestation ritual, do this yoni, you know, wand, whatever. It was just doing, doing, doing. It was, yeah, like more doing, but with a feminine label, you know, yeah. Whereas feminine restoration, it's like you're actually resting. And because of that rest, your feminine blossoms and comes alive.
What would you say to someone who is feeling like, now that you're saying all of that, that when you talk about, well, it's not about doing so much, but more about the resting and also about trusting in God, that there is this bigger plan and that we will be receiving. What would you say to someone who feels like, I can't really drop into that, or don't really believe that, like I need to obviously take action? Also, obviously, I guess to some extent we are taking action in certain ways, but how would that be possible to frame that, or how would someone start with dropping into that and trusting that path?
Yeah, so if you're struggling to believe in God, like I always like to say, you can start with life, you know, like life is holding me, like the goodness of life is supporting me, and I can begin to open up trust to the life principle and make my way to God. And I will say, as far as surrendering to the life principle or the God principle, if we think about biology, in order for us to, you know, be created and birthed, like the actual egg as the feminine is just sitting, like waiting for the masculine to penetrate her. And once the rightful sperm penetrates the egg dies and morphs into something else. But that dying is surrender. Before that transformation takes place, the egg is just resting in her fullness and her emanation and her like eggness. And so if we bring it back to just like a biological primal level, like the feminine in nature is meant to just rest and emanate and be her and surrender and receive. And it doesn't mean that there's not doing, like you said, like I believe in active surrender. So it's not passive surrender, it's not bypassing, but it's through going down and in. So what I mean by that is active surrender is meeting the parts of ourselves that are still mistrusting, that are still harboring fear or doubt, you know, and being with that and bringing those aspects of ourselves and those energetics into the arms of God, so that we can make space for more trust and ultimately remembrance of the love that we are and the inheritance that is bestowed upon us as daughters of God. So, you know, active surrender is still active, but it's not active from a place of I've got to do and be and like force more to receive more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm wondering, do you maybe have like, I mean, for me, it resonates in the way that I feel it myself, but do you maybe have like an example that you feel like could probably paint the picture even more fully? I don't know, in terms of like business or relationship or something like that?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I'll give you like a really unedited story. So
yes, we love that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so there was this one time that I was dating this guy and he was saying all the right things to me and I ended up being intimate with him, which I am not proud of because like of how sensitive I am. But I didn't know better at the time. I was still like earlier on my path. And a short time went by, like a month and a half, and he ended up just like dumping me on a 5-minute call. And so my nervous system, it was like an overnight situation. Like we were fine the night before and the next day he dumps me on a 5-minute call. And my nervous system was just like, WTF, like this is so shocking. Like I literally cannot compute like what just happened. The reason he gave me was like so vague. And up until that point, I was feeling really good in my business. I was like, you know, receiving clients and just feeling like trusting and really connected to God and everything. And then once that stressor happened on my system, I ended up going into survival mode and my trust went out the window. I started to get into scarcity. I started doing things I hadn't done in a while, like shopping a lot and like compulsive shopping, all of this like nervous system, like dysregulation from feeling unloved and dropped by the masculine. And, you know, I put up heart armor, like I stopped being as magnetic, all of this from this sense of survival mode. My business just like really slowed down. I was doing all of the same things, like onto the top side world, everything was the same other than this guy leaving my life. But underneath what is visible in 3D, I was like, my feminine was not restored. It was like the opposite of restored. And this is a perfect example of like why descension and like what's lingering underneath the surface for the feminine is so is basically all that matters. Like the doing doesn't matter, because if you were to look at me, everything was the same. All my actions were the same, but the energy underneath my actions was not the same. And so the feminine literally births what is lingering underneath the surface. This is why going down and in and meeting those parts is more productive than trying to meet the world from the top side through more doing and everything. So I continued on for like 4 weeks, like on the struggle bus and on the survival mode bus. And it was really tough. Like my skin got affected. I broke out and all of this. And it wasn't until I hit my knees day after day after day and realized that I was trying to survive on my own and it just doesn't work. It wasn't until I hit my knees and got lower and started to meet those parts of myself, bring them into love, that I started to kind of restore my own magnetism, my feminine, and that overflow feeling and that connection to God. Like I had to go lower and meet those parts. It wasn't going to happen through me penetrating life through my mind like a man. I had to go down and in. So that's the power of the feminine, is the descent and surrender to God, like sitting at his feet. And also, you know, if that feels triggering to someone, with love and in the right time and in the right way, I invite people to meet those triggers that maybe feeling like sitting at the feet of God or like surrendering to God, like, ugh, that sounds churchy. Well, I totally agree. And if you know me, like I'm so not churchy and I'm not religious or dogmatic at all. And there is power in just making yourself lower in the presence of God.
I feel like just surrendering to God and having that that masculine energy that also emanates from that, it just can hold you through so much. And even when you then enter in a situation like the one that you've been in, that you just shared with us, when we have that and when we really, truly, deeply have that trust, we have the opportunity to be even held through that. And that is so powerful. And I guess that is really also part of the essence of your work, if I gather it correctly. It just helps us so much. And then also, even with business and all of those things, we always have that higher source that really helps us through it all, kind of guides the way in a way, and helps us, holds us through it all. And I think that is something so, so important. I feel like I've gotten to a point where I just, yeah, that just literally also gotten down to my knees, and I was like, I just cannot do this on my own. Like, I don't even want to. Like, I cannot, I don't want to. And I was at a point where I understood, like, this world doesn't make sense to me if I don't have faith. Mm. And that's how, for me, this connection to God rekindled over time, and it's still rekindling. It's still in its process. And so I really appreciate that you are touching up on that, and that is part of your work as well. I would love, maybe because we touched upon God now so much, because you also talk about retemplating, and you also just said, like, it's not, you're in a way not churchy, you're not religious. Like, how does God, how does his power embody for you, and like, what's your approach to that? I would just love to hear a bit about your perspective on that, and maybe through that being able to open up this connection for someone who currently is like you just said, oh, I just don't know if I can get into this, but I kind of wish I would.
Yeah. So I love that you have brought this forward. Like, I call it like the lover of life and God retemplating, because, you know, some of us have like different orientations to God, I believe. Like, I teach on the daughter template because it's so important, because like restores our preciousness and our worthiness and everything. And I'm a little bit of a hybrid because I also orient to God as a lover, you know, not in like a hypersexual, like covering up like daddy wounds or like sexual wounds. Like, that's not my vibe at all. But like, literally, it's the path of Sophia, is being the counterpart to the masculine aspect of God, and being a lover of life, like being a lover of God. And what that means to me is, like, a lot of us feel, and I know this was my path for a while, it's like, well, that person's lucky and I'm not, or like, maybe, you know, life is going to be more of an uphill battle for me. And like, just this disconnection from the life principle, which is also a different iteration of like the God principle. Once I started to really descend, I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm making love with life. Like, I'll be on a walk and it's just like, I feel the pulsation of like life moving through me. And it's really God. You know, you can interchange the words, but I help women like really feel that connection and their co-creative responsibility with life. I help them open themselves to this like lovership with all of life, with all of creation, and ultimately with God. And this is the power of the open heart and the womb, is we literally become like the throne of God. And that's how I feel, is like my heart and womb is where God sits. From that place, I listen to him and he leads me. And so when we really start to like open our heart and our womb, we open our vessel to the divine and ultimately place ourselves in a posturing of communion with him. You know, it's kind of like we start off with the daughter, we start retemplating our worthiness, our childhoodness with God, our preciousness. And then further along on that journey, the lover starts to come alive, and it's kind of like a maturation process. That's the way I look at it. And of course, there's days where it's like, oh, I'm feeling more like a daughter. I don't get too heady with it. But yeah, it's, to me, the feminine fullness, a part of that teaching is realizing the co-creative power of woman. And because of that, it's like, I don't know anybody that couldn't help but be a lover of life.
Yeah, I would love, because you just touched upon that, and I would just love to understand it better and more, because I've never heard about this before, the Sophianic mystic, and you just talked about this a bit. What does it mean? You already said it's like the counterpart. Could you just elaborate on that a bit? Because I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, so everything operates like in polarity. So we have like heaven and earth, like in the Hermetic alchemy lineage, there's like as above, so below, masculine, feminine, you know, Sophia, Christ, there is Jesus and Mary. So there's all these different like polarities, like light, dark, yin, yang. And so I've always felt like so connected to Christ like my whole life, but it wasn't like in a churchy way. Like I would go off into my little like nook in the house and just like write prayers to Jesus and read his teachings. I made my mom get me baptized at age 5. So I've always felt so connected to Christ. And up until recently, I didn't realize I have like the rose line all up in my charts and stuff. So I've always resonated with Christ, but from a feminine like lovership lens, and not in like a distorted way, but just from within the privacy of my own heart. And so the Sophia Christ path to me is like walking the path of Jesus, but the feminine path, like the left-handed path. So it's really and truly being in deep communion with the elemental womb, the womb of the earth, being in deep communion with your physical womb, with your heart, kind of what I was speaking to earlier. It's like allowing your physical feminine vessel to be the literal throne and altar of God, living in devotion to God above all. So Sophia is like the counterpart, like the feminine counterpart to Christ, kind of like in devotion to God the lover, which is different than like, I mean, it's still God the Father and God the Lover are the same, but it's just like a different, like I was speaking to earlier, it's like being in a more of like lovership with God, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Just a different energetic relationship or, yeah, connection that is there. Thank you so much for sharing that. I was just thinking, I don't know if that book relates, but I actually, a couple years back, I read this book called Sophia Code. And I think it actually portrayed like the feminine counterpart to creation. So I don't know if you heard about this book or if this
it's really hard to put words to this path. And so anytime there's all these like channeled books and readings on the Sophia path, you're reading that person's connection to Sophia. Like not like there's really no writing of like, just like with Jesus. It's like nobody really freaking knows. The minute somebody claims to know, I'm like, that is just their interpretation. You know what I mean? So I'm very cautious of like what I'm reading and taking in, because we have access, direct access to God. Like we have direct access to Jesus. And of course, things like I have a book right here, like it's powerful. It's a great reference point, Jesus calling. But I also, there's nothing more powerful than me just sitting in the presence of Jesus and receiving that way. So
I love that you're saying that, because I actually had like a really beautiful experience on the weekend. I went to this, I don't know even how to describe it, like a mix of like a modern gospel kind of church situation. And what I loved so much about my experience there was actually, so obviously it was like based on scripture, but there were different people going up on stage and just like sharing their own relation to what they were reading. And that was so beautiful, because I think that kind of ties in with all of that we gather in terms of interpretation. Like so much of that can differ from person to person. And I think also that gives us such clue about like church and religion and then connection to God are such different things, and it's so muddled together, but it's not, and we can kind of find our own clear path in that. So I think it's really beautiful that you're talking on that. And then obviously we can gather certain sources if we feel like we resonate with them, like the book that you just shared. So that is so, so beautiful. So thank you for that. I would love, because you touched upon the womb a couple of times now, and I would love if you could share a bit on our connection as a feminine being to our womb. And I feel like in the work that I've done so far, I've always come across how, I mean, there's so much healing that seems to be necessary, especially in that area for women, and something and a part of our body that also seemed to have been so neglected in the way that we grew up, at least, or I grew up. Yeah, I just love to hear how you're working with that, or how your connection to your womb has been established, or how your how the womb plays a role in your life.
Yeah, so energetically, like, our heart and our womb have a consciousness. Like, we've heard of Joe Dispenza's work. He works a lot with, like, heart consciousness and, like, the intelligence of the heart and the Heart Math Institute. Like, this isn't new news. And our womb is the same way. Like, our womb has a toroidal field. And right below our womb is our cervix. And it is said that the cervix has, like, this gravitational pull that makes us magnetic. So it's the seat of our magnetism, our womb is. And because of the force field of the womb and the cervix, it quite literally holds the family unit together. Like, that sense of, like, home. It's like wherever your grandma or your mom is, it just feels like home. That is the power of woman. That is, like, her womb holding power without her doing anything. It's the consciousness of the womb that holds the family together. And so our wombs are, you know, what make us woman. And even if women don't have a womb because of surgery and health issues, the actual spirit of the womb still lives in the woman. And so, you know, tribes from thousands and thousands of years ago knew the potency and the importance of the womb and the menstrual cycle. It's how tribes used to track time and for, like, farming and hunting and, like, where they would move per season. Like, the womb was everything. All of that to say, the way I work with the womb, with my clients and with myself, is I first start to bring women into that gravitational pull of their womb, like the center point of their womb. Because anytime we're, like, anxious, or we're over processing or overthinking, or we're over planning and we're, like, doing but not from a place of presence, and it's just, like, scattered, it's because we're not connected to our center of gravity. We're up in our mind, and we literally feel off center, like not grounded. And so we can't come into full embodiment if we're not grounded. So the womb is very practical. She's very mystical and multidimensional, but we can work with the womb from, like, the most practical energetic stance, which is, like, you're in your mind, you're feeling chaotic, orient your energy back down to her and you will feel a sense of calm. And sometimes it's not that simple. Sometimes we have sexual trauma, or we have resentment or grief or rage that is stored in our pelvic bowl and womb. So I have had clients that, you know, when they descend down to their womb energetically through the practices that I guide them through, they will meet their suppressed rage or grief. Our womb is so intelligent that just through bringing awareness down to our womb, she will naturally start to gestate and clear those energies, just like she sheds the lining, the uterine lining, every month. And even if women have imbalances with their cycle, the actual consciousness of the womb will still, like, clear energetically and emotionally for us. So I walk my clients, like, I guide them to something I called womb trust, like womb deep trust. When we're not connected to our womb, we feel a sense of mistrust with all of life and God and the masculine and money and all the things. Because our womb is just like a mirror of our relationship to life, like our relationship to our womb, it's mirrored to our relationship to life. So a lot of my clients will start to feel the sense of womb deep trust, like womb trust. The reason I call it this is because we don't need to do, when we're really and truly working with the brilliance and the sacredness of our womb consciousness, we don't need to do a lot of healing work. Like, we don't need to do, like, mindset work and, like, subconscious. embodiment, like somatic, like those things are all great. And I've devoted my life to studying this stuff, so I'm not putting down the actual brilliance of our womb. She'll naturally just start to clear things that we bring awareness to, that we bring presence to. Through being descended into her, she'll start to, like, the healing process is just a lot more gentle and less doing. It's just kind of like more natural and smooth. So to me, it's everything along with our relationship to God. Those are like the two biggest things that I work with women, because without those two things, we just always feel off. So yeah.
I feel like I resonate so much with that part of, I mean, the importance of the womb and like how important that part of our body and like energetically and physically is in the life of a woman. I just to give like a little insight into my story, like when I was at my lowest some years back, I was not even, and I only can say that now that I'm reflecting upon it, but back then I was not even able to look down at myself, and also I wasn't able to touch my own womb space, even like putting my hands on that part, and it felt like something so strange and not available to me, and it just felt, I felt almost like a disgust towards myself. So it was a really heavy feeling that was there. And I so resonate with what you said about how that healing really happens through a lot of just focusing on that area and just like really, I guess, for lack of a better word, getting in touch with that area in terms of, yeah, just putting attention towards what is there and what's been neglected. I feel like I have achieved or gone through so much healing through that as well. So I think I can just speak to that, at least for me as well. Yeah, it's just been a really important part of my personal journey to being able to actually nowadays be in touch with myself in that way, not having that feeling of being a stranger to my womb space anymore. And I've seen this in my personal life, how I relate to men and the masculine and all of that. And yeah, also to money and success and all of those things. It's so tied in there. And energetically, it's also so similar. There's so much of the same energetics in that. Yeah, just really love that. Yeah, that this is such a big part of your work as well, because you already touched upon that in relation to the womb, like the masculine and our journey of opening up towards that. And yeah, we see it in the money, we see it in our relations too. Let's say if we want to be in a relationship with a masculine man, then all of that kind of, I mean, it almost all falls into like the same energetic category. I don't even know how to express that, but it is so united in a way. And even with what we talked about, God, like our relation to him as like this masculine source as well, when we frame it this way, I would just love if we could touch upon that as like one of the last things before we get to one of my favorite questions I always ask on here. Okay. Just, I guess, the importance of all of that restoration that we've been talking about in relation to that, and then the union that I feel like so many of us crave in this lifetime, so many of us desire, and that's such a big part of the work that you're doing as well. So I would love if we could just dive into that a little.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I always like to say that we get to practice and prepare for union with God. You know, this is why, like, kind of playing with God the lover and like, how can I show devotion to the divine and allow myself to be adjusted and led and corrected by God in preparation for my man? Like, we get to cover a lot of ground with God, and we get to begin there, because when we restore our worthiness as daughters of God and lovers of God, we're more likely to attract a man who mirrors that worthiness. And so I also have seen this just, you know, in real 3D time, that whenever I'm connected to who I am in God, the whole world changes the way it responds to me. I have started to really just feel how hungry men are for like heart-centered, womb-embodied women. Like, this is all like, we don't even have to say anything for men to open doors for us, like literally and energetically. Yeah. So yesterday I was coming back from the park and I went to eat at one of my favorite lunch spots. And I was just feeling that lovership. I was just feeling that sense of, like, you know, being held by God. And I'm just eating my food. And I went to go fill up my drink at the water fountain station thing. And this man just starts talking to me. And I just, like, give him kind eyes. And I just open my body to him a little bit. All of this was not, like, strategy or anything. I'm just being myself. You know, his whole being just, like, perked up. And I can just feel, like, men, this man, and men in general don't experience women and their feminine that often. You know, it's like literally nourishment for them. And the more that we restore our feminine and get right with God as masculine principle, we will just start to attract men who appreciate that and can hold that and want a soft woman and want a woman that respects and needs the masculine and men or her man. This is just stuff that we're not taught in society. Like, we're taught, like, you don't need no man. You know, you can do it all by yourself. Like, men only want one thing. And we're not taught that we are treating men how to treat us at all times, unspokenly first. Before we even open our mouth, we are telling everybody in the room how to treat us. And once we get right with that, and we start taking responsibility for our energy and our inside, like what's going on the inside, the outside will shift. It's just a byproduct of that. So when we restore our feminine, we will attract a man who wants to protect our feminine. And it's our job first to protect and restore our feminine before a man ever will. And even when we're in a relationship with a man, it's still our job first and foremost. Yeah, the work always starts within. And yeah,
I just have to add a little beautiful thing that I've experienced on my journey in the past, especially in the past month, so this year actually, as I started to dive deeper and deeper into my journey of getting in touch with God and into that connection and into that space of surrender. And it's obviously, it's an everyday practice and it's not the same every day, and it shifts and changes as life does. But what I've noticed, and also only upon reflection, was that all of a sudden, even so in my male friendships, well, first of all, I started to create this beautiful family around me of safety and feeling home and feeling held, and actually having that reflection of every man that is currently in my life as a friend. I have that reflection of myself and the way that I am in the way that they treat me. And it's with such deep respect and such deep honoring of my feminine and the way that I am. Really, almost, in a way that they take such good care of me. And it's so, so beautiful because it's nothing that I ever asked for or made someone do. It's just something that developed and unfolded by itself just because I started to, I guess, arrive within myself and in that way and started to build that relationship to God, to this higher power for myself to surrender to. That is just something so beautiful to experience. And I never thought I would experience that. I never had that experience before in my life. Yeah.
Yes. This is the creational potency and just nature of woman. Yeah. Of course, there was beautiful things that you had to do and remember, of course. And if we, like, get really, like, primal and, like, biological law with it, the feminine always births what's on the inside. Yeah. You know, whether we're saying something completely different, you know, like for many years, I was like, I love myself. I don't hate men. But my heart and my womb were, like, armored, you know? So, like, we don't birth what we say. We don't birth, like, what we're putting, like, the masks that we're putting on for the world. Even if we want to believe what we're saying, we don't birth that. We birth what's down and in our feminine body. And so what you're experiencing is, like, your creational potency and the men around you responding to that. So it's really, really powerful.
It's such a beautiful journey to be on. I'm so happy that I'm on this path. And I have one very last question for you that I ask everyone on here. And it's, is there one thing you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply? And I mean, we talked about so many things that we can probably put in there. Maybe there's something that we didn't talk about you want to add there, or you can just go into something that we already touched upon and just be like, okay, this is the thing.
Yeah. So I really believe that 99% of all suffering, if not 99.9% of all suffering, is a result of us forgetting who we are as daughters and lovers of God. It's the orphan identity, which is forgetting like our God parents, like separating from that love parent field, God field, and trying to do life on our own, trying to figure out things on our own, trying to manifest on our own and all of that. Like so much of our suffering is forgetting the innate love and wholeness that we are. And once we get right with that, yes, of course, life happens. Yes, of course, we can't control other people and all the things, but we have this sense of rootedness of like, it's like a tree rooted in the earth during a storm. It's like the deeper the roots, the less likely the tree is going to snap. This remembrance gives us that healthy root system so that we don't snap and break as easily. Yeah, it's like, where are you suffering? And do you know just how like perfect and loved and whole you are? Yeah, it's just all about remembering.
So powerful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I really appreciate it so, so much. And I just think there's so much need for this in this world, like you also touched upon just now. As the very last thing, if someone deeply resonated, and I'm sure someone will deeply resonate with what we just talked about, where can people find you if they want to check out your Instagram or your website or your offerings? You can just plug yourself.
Thank you, Karina. Yeah, I'm on Instagram, her.feminine.roots. And I have a new offering coming up called Descend. So it's all about descension. And I'm really distilling the teachings because I want women to understand the how and like the actual, like the embodiment that comes from descension, not just understanding descension from the mind. So that's what this course is all about. And then I have a lot of like meditations and freebies that are all in the link in my bio. So yeah, just connect with me on Instagram. That's where all the good stuff is.
Yes, beautiful, amazing. I'll obviously link everything in the show notes as I always do, so it's easy to access. And yeah, again, thank you so, so much for being here, for taking out this time of your day and for having this conversation, and yeah, for sharing all your wisdom and thoughts with everyone listening.
Thank you, Karina, for having me. It was an honor.